You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Last week we talked about witnessing, and we're in a time of looking at more basic teachings in the Word of God. We just came through a whole big thing about discipleship and walking, walk 101, 2, 3, and 4. Remember that we discovered in walking 101 that our purpose on earth, our purpose in life, is to walk with God. Adam was created for one purpose, that's to walk with God. You were created for one purpose. That's to walk with God. I think we also said some things like, man, the world is full of Sunday-only Christians. Remember that? And we want to see Monday through Saturday Christians. Yeah. Your walk with God is Monday through Saturday and Sunday too. But man, it's, don't just make it a one day a week kind of a thing. Today we're going to jump back to Acts chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1. We're going to be looking at witnessing 101. Now last week Joy did such a good job presenting some things in her life and her witnessing. Today we're going to look at how they did it in the old school. Some of you are old school, like from the 50s and 60s and 70s. This is old school, like a couple thousand years ago. What did Jesus really intend for us to do with witnessing? Now a couple things right off the bat. We are all called to witness. When we say the word evangelism, sometimes you think of the guy on the street corner. Sometimes you think of the guy on TV. Sometimes you think of the preacher. Sometimes you think of people that have abilities and gifts to share the gospel in ways in which people come to know Jesus in big mass kind of ways. And that's true. My son-in-law, I think I've mentioned several times, in East Tennessee, he has that gift. He can go to a street corner and he can preach. And man, I don't have that gift. But we are all called to witness. We are all called to tell other people in our little sphere of influence about Jesus. We should all be prepared for that. So let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. So when they had come together and they asked him repeatedly, Lord, are you at this time reestablishing the kingdom and restoring it to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Last week I had just a little bit of time to give you just a little bit on one or two points. Today, get your sermon notes out because we're going to run through this. Now I want to really hone in on several things that you see about our personal witness in Acts chapter 1. Now to set the stage, Jesus is about to go back to heaven. He's been crucified. He's come back to life. Here he is. This is the last thing that Jesus tells his disciples before he heads back to heaven. I find it interesting that as Jesus is with his crew of disciples, the disciples ask a pretty personal question. What do they ask? You're going to restore the kingdom back? Are we going to be put in power again? Are we going to kick all these bad Romans out? And are we going to take over back again? The same thing, by the way, he has been fighting with the disciples from day one. This isn't about you. It isn't about your gifts, your abilities. It's not about you. It's about God the Father. And he answers them in a wonderful way. He doesn't say, I know what's about to happen. He answers them with, you don't know, only God knows. So, Jesus, you're going to leave now. Are you going to give us our stuff? You going to give us what we've been asking for? No. And Jesus doesn't say, that's for me to know. He says, no one knows. The Father does. Who is he pointing to? The Father's in charge. And he says, it's not for you to know. And then he lays it out. I'm leaving you. You're going to receive power and ability. I want you to be witnesses of me. Guys, understand, the last thing Jesus said was, wherever you go, you're going to tell people about me. He didn't say, we're going to establish some kingdoms. We're going to make Sabino Road the greatest church in North Tucson to reach people. He said, you as individuals go out and witness here, there, everywhere, to the uttermost ends of the earth. Is everyone with me today?
Yes.
Are you awake?
Yes.
Are you perky, spunky? All right, wake up. It's a short sermon today. Not more than an hour. It'll be good. Just some thoughts on this. You guys ready? Look, at your sermon notes. Number one, the priority of witnessing. The priority of witnessing. Look back at verse 6. They ask repeatedly, Lord, are you going to, at this time, reestablish the kingdom? Are you going to restore Israel back? We've been following you because we thought that you would create some sort of a kingdom here. This is after his death, by the way, guys. Follow me on this. This is after Jesus is crucified. And the guys are still saying, are you going to establish the kingdom now? It's almost as if they never got it through the whole process. As he leaves, what really changes the disciples is they spend 120 days after he leaves, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they turn the world upside down. Y'all follow this? The work of the Spirit in a person's life is unbelievable. He goes back to the priority. No, guys, I'm not going to reestablish the kingdom the way you think. But it's going to be something totally different. You will be my witnesses. I have down here 1 Peter 3:15. But in your heart set Christ apart as holy, acknowledging him and giving him first place in our lives as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope and confident assurance elicited by faith that is within you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. What Peter was saying was, is Jesus Christ, is God, is your walk with him the number one priority in your life? If it is, as you walk this way, you will meet people who look at you and wonder why you're able to handle things the way you handle things. In this world, it's a crazy world out there. The Christian should stand out as someone who shows the way to Jesus Christ. People around you should be going, you're in the same boat we are, but what's different about you? And Peter says, be ready to give the answer. It's my walk with Jesus Christ. So first and foremost, get right the priorities in your life. It is hard for me. It's hard for you. It's hard for anyone. If the priority is not on Christ alone, for us to share about him. Does that make sense? My priority is something else. I'm probably going to share about that. This morning, I don't know. I think we have two or three visitors, guests in the audience today. And they come from all sorts of walks of life. Someone's from Korea, someone's from Georgia, someone's from Montana. It's great to be here, isn't it? Yeah. These folks know people that you and I don't. Tomorrow, these folks and you and me, we're going to come across people that no one else is going to come across. The priority is my life with Christ. When my life with Christ is right and it's focused, it's prioritized, man, I'm ready to tell people about Jesus. By the way, if it's not, what am I wondering? Lord, are you going to establish the kingdom? Are you going to give me my stuff? Are you going to make things right with me? Come on. But if my righteousness is toward God, if my walk is with him, oh, Matthew 6:33 says, if you focus on the righteousness, if you focus on me, everything else in life is going to fall into place. That's good and bad. That's when good things happen, promotions happen, everything's great, the grandkids visit and all this kind of stuff, and when the bad things happen. Rick came down to see us. Rick, wave your hand to give a little 10-minute testimony. Rick drove down. I'm sure the speed limit. Please, Lord, not today. Don't strike me down. And anyway, his car broke down. Yeah. So Brock and I went out at 1 o'clock or so in the morning. For you that know Phoenix, we went to 20 or 30 miles north of Wickenburg, from Scottsdale to Wickenburg. It was an hour and a half, 2-hour thing. Picked them up on the side of the road in the middle of the night. Beautiful stars, by the way, out in the middle of nowhere. And came back. As we started to look at this car, Rick said, you know, let me just donate it. Brock is a Make-A-Wish kid, and so we said, let's donate it to Make-A-Wish. So we called them, and they couldn't come get it until Tuesday or Wednesday. Well, it's on the side of the road, and if it gets towed, you know, you're in a lot of trouble, you know, if you get the DPS involved. So we called a couple of towing companies. By the way, they want an arm and a leg to come get your car if you're 20 miles out. It's like $175. So we went with this one guy, said, meet us out here and all this kind of stuff. So then we went out Saturday and got the thing put on the truck. And I said, take it to First Baptist Church Wickenburg. So we're going to put it in the parking lot, and we have permission to do this. And then the Make-A-Wish people are going to come pick it up Tuesday or Wednesday. $160 or $75, okay? So the guy loads it up. We go to the church. He backs it up and all this kind of stuff. And then he comes over, and we start talking. I said, you know, my wife and I almost was the pastor of this church 20 years ago. You know, we start talking. In the middle of this, then I say, okay, well, I need to pay and all that kind of stuff. And I said, you take a credit card. He said, no. And so, okay, how much cash you got? By the way, when you get older in life, your kids have more money than you do. It's amazing. So we start to, you know, fumbling around. See, I don't take cash either. He said, God bless you. Big old bear hug, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Wow. I didn't go into this episode in a good light. I got to go all the way back out there to Wickenburg. I got to pay all this guy and all this stuff. Rick doesn't have, you know, Rick's in the Air Force for crying out loud. He doesn't have money growing on a tree. You know, all this kind of stuff. And it changed. God is good. God is good. Thank you, Lord, that we just saved 100 and something, 160 or 70,000. Thank you, Lord. But God was good 5 minutes before that when I was pulling out the money. Y'all with me? Good, that's our word. And bad, that's our word. God is sovereign. Second thing, the provision of witnessing. Look at Acts 1:7. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Guys, witnessing. You don't know who you're going to witness to tomorrow. You don't. Now, if during your time with God today, he says, Claire, who works across from you at the bank, Joe, who is there at the Air Force Base, I don't know. He might give you someone that he says, pray about this person. This is on your heart. Of course, man, that's pretty cool. But even tomorrow, as you go and talk to Claire or Joe, because God's put them on your heart, God still leads that conversation. You ever have one of those conversations when someone's down and out and they say, would you tell me? Oh, those are great, aren't they? You've also had conversations where you say, I've got my big family Bible. Let me tell you about Jesus because you're going to hell. They're going, One way I'm pushing it. One way it's about me doing my job with my hands. I want God to lead me in my heart. okay, God, I've been praying for Claire or Joe or whoever it was all day long. I see them. Guide me. Guide me. And when I meet with them, if they're open, they're going to look at me and say, let's talk. Or as I start to talk, it's going to work well. Do you know who's doing that? Not me. The Spirit is. The Spirit's prepared them to hear. Y'all with me?
Amen.
A couple things here. This isn't cold calling. This isn't outside sales. How many have been in sales where you're cold calling people? Ooh, man. How's that for fun? Yeah. It's not. This isn't outside sales. This is inside stuff. This is path-directed evangelism. You look at the person, you kind of know what they're going through, and they spit it out to you and say, man, this is what's happening, and God leads you into that. But you must allow the Spirit to work through you. John 4:34 says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, to completely finish his work. Do not say, it is still 4 months until the harvest comes. Look, I say to you, raise your eyes, look at the fields and see, they're white on the harvest. Who prepared the fields? Even the farmer does not grow the crops. Now he does the work to get it ready, but who grows the crops? God does. Look at the fields. I prepared them. Guys, you and me, our job as believers, as followers, is to go out and be ready to collect. Is it you? I'm ready. Lord, show me who you want to collect. Show me who needs to hear your word. Isn't that awesome? Third thing. The power of witnessing. Look at verse 8a. But you'll receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He empowers and shapes our witness within us. I've tried to stop using that word equip. In the churches, a lot of times we use that word equip. Man, we're here to equip you to do the job. There's a lot of hands in that. And we want your heart to be shaped. I'm starting to use the word shape instead of equip a lot. Does this make sense to you? God wants to shape you in your heart after him. Just doesn't want you to do the job that you need to do. He wants to shape your heart. If your heart is right, your hands will follow. How many times have we repeated that? Don't just do the job. Anyone can do the job. But if your heart is shaped after his own, oh, then the work of your hands is sufficient. Matthew 28. All authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Help them learn of me, believe in me, obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. What's Jesus saying? I'm leaving you, and someone's going to guide you after I'm gone, the Holy Spirit. Go into all the world and make disciples. He didn't just say, go into all the world and make them believe in me. That's part of the process. That we as believers, we as a church body at Sabino Road, we make disciples. We go out into the field. The field is the Air Force Base. It's the high school. It's the market. It's the golf course. It's wherever you go. It's your Jerusalem. And you see people out there that are white on the harvest. And you pick them up. Let me tell you about Jesus. Here it is. Here's the plan of salvation. Will you believe? And as they believe, what do? You bring them here and you disciple them. Come to class, come to worship. You and me, let's have coffee and go through a book of the Bible. You develop them. You disciple them. You make them more like Jesus. Isn't that a good plan? Come on, guys, you're still awake? Isn't that a good plan? Yeah. It is not on you to put little notches in your Bible of how many people you win to the Lord. It is on you to draw closer to the heart of Christ. Next thing, the point of witnessing. You will be my witnesses to tell people about me. He didn't say you're going to be witnesses to tell people about you. Remember a quote from Dallas Willard. I think I've said before, anyone named Dallas has to be a pretty sharp guy. And he said, when you read people, when you hear people talk about being broken, he said, you hear more and more of them going through tough times, hardships, things like this. You hear less and less of their spirit being broken and restored to Jesus Christ. It's not about going through hardships. It's not about going through enduring the pain. It's about trusting more and more and more. What does that mean? You're going to be witnesses of Him. When someone next to you in your little cubicle, when someone that plays cards with you on Tuesday night down at the club, when someone says, I've had a rough spot, and you've gone through the same thing a year ago, please don't tell them how you made it through. Please don't tell them how you got the best of this. Please don't tell them about how you did this and that and the other. What are you supposed to tell them about? Yeah, I got through because God, He's the one. I put my trust in Him.
Amen.
That's the difference. Otherwise, we're just good guys. But we're like anyone else. We're just persevered. It's us. It's not us. Possibilities. Look at verse 1, 8 through C, and I'll end with this. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. We obediently witness during our daily life. Anywhere. Anywhere. Years ago in Alaska, when we were the area missionaries in Alaska, we would have hundreds, literally hundreds of mission teams come up to Alaska to go working everywhere. Oh, they would go out the Aleutian Chain and up to Prudhoe in the north, and they go into the interior and up to Fairbanks. They go all over the place. We really needed that. That was really good stuff. It really was. But after having to replace a couple of roofs that were redone on the Aleutian Chain out in Cold Bay and a couple other places, because the mission team that came out wasn't prepared to do that, I started to see that a lot of times a mission team is out to do some new job, some different thing for a week or two that they're not used to doing. Y'all follow me on this? And even today, and Joy, thanks for bringing this up last week, we get excited about, let's go to Ethiopia next year. Let's go to Nepal. By the way, when I say, let's go to Nepal, what's the first thing you think of? Oh, mountains. Oh, this will be cool. So in Alaska, we started to institute, you had to do the job that you proposed to do in Ethiopia or Korea or Russia, or wherever we're going to send teams to, you got to do that here. Well, we need to put on a roof somewhere in Ethiopia. Are you doing it here? There's lots of roofs that are needed here. Well, we're going to go and preach, evangelize. Are you doing that here in Anchorage or Tucson or wherever you are? By the way, that cut down our mission teams substantially. We got a lot of hate mail, if you call it that, over, well, I think we should go. Who are you to demand that we do this and that? This is God saying, if you're in Jerusalem, do your work. You tell people about me. If you're in Judea, do your job. Tell people about me. If you're in Samaria, you do the same. Uttermost parts of the earth. Boy, that puts a spin on it, doesn't it? Don't we all love to get the t-shirts and go take pictures of Mount Kilimanjaro and all this on a mission trip? Of course we do. But he said, start in Jerusalem first. By the way, it's not hard. It's not hard. You keep your walk with Him tight. That's the secret. You keep your walk with Him tight, and He will guide you. He will show you where to go. He'll put people across your path that you won't even recognize. You'll go, wow, didn't even think of this one, right across your path. Last week we mentioned a couple of things. I'm talking geographically. Let's start with your neighborhood. If you live near the church, let's start with Sabino Road, right? Right? And then what's the Judea? I don't know, Tucson maybe? Then Samaria, a little bit farther out. Uttermost parts of the earth, wherever you go, there's missionary. We need help for mission teams and missionaries across the world. Last week we also said this, though, is not just geographical. Your Jerusalem, like who he's talking to here, these are a bunch of Jewish guys, and Jerusalem is the holy city. Anyone that's worth anything is here in Jerusalem, right? Because they're like us. By the way, it's easy to go and witness to someone like us. It's easier to know if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan that you're going to go and witness to a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Does this make sense? You follow me? Then he says Judea. That's a little bit out of our comfort zone. These are Arizonans. I don't know if you guys knew this or not. Phoenix is a little different than Tucson, which is a little bit different than Flagstaff. Have you been to Flagstaff? Which is a little bit different than Yuma. What are all those places? Those are Judeas. To us, to people that live in Yuma, Yuma is Jerusalem. Isn't this cool? Then Samaria. The Samarians aren't good. They are not like us. Good Jewish folks don't talk to Samarians. The Good Samaritan, remember that story? What was the whole point of that? He's different than we are, and yet God loves them just the same. So when he says, go to Samaria, he's saying, get way out of your comfort zone. Who are those people that you don't like? Who are those people that God does put across your path that you go, I will tell them about Jesus. They don't look like me, smell like me, taste like me. None of that. And yet God loves them just as much as he loves you. And then finally, the uttermost ends of the earth. People you don't even know. When you put that dollar in the plate and it goes to the cooperative program, 50 cents of that dollar goes to international mission. Do you know, guys know that? Straight to it. That's not administrative costs. It is straight to the mission field. 25 cents of that dollar goes straight to North American mission. That's Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. Pays for all the missionaries here. Think about that. When you give to the church, you're giving to missions everywhere. It used to be that the United States was the greatest mission-sending country in the world. Did you know that? We're not anymore. We're not anymore. We're the second or third largest mission-sending country in the world now. We still must go Jerusalem first. Jerusalem first. Here's your homework. Next week, we're going to start again with a few moments of testimony of your witnessing. Guys, this isn't a hard assignment. You keep your walk straight with God, he's going to put people across your path, I promise you. When they come to you, you let the Spirit guide you into what you say. If you want to know the best thing to say to folks, by the way, when they ask about your God, it'd be really good if you can tell him something that he's doing in your life today or yesterday or last week. I try not to tell him what happened to me 40 years ago, 45 years ago when I accepted him as my Savior. I want them to hear what God's done for me today or yesterday. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Okay. Seek his face. Put your heart in his. Align your heart with his heart. Align your heart with his heart. Ask him to lead those people across your path. That's your homework this week. Where does it start? Your personal walk with God. Don't wait till next Sunday to come back and get full. You do that tomorrow. Now, a couple things to help you. In the back, here comes all the advertisements. We have these adoration cards, or the Acts cards. You know that we keep talking about doing the Acts prayer guide? Again, that's the adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and submission. Do that in the morning. And make your prayer time with God more of listening to Him than of you talking. And in your prayer time, there's two ways to pray. You pray for stuff. I want this and that and the other. Or you pray for alignment of your will with His. Pray the alignment prayer. Man, as I walk today, may you align my steps wherever they go. And I'm willing and ready to talk to anyone. And then we always say, do that Acts in reverse. At 10 o'clock, do the S, the submission. From 10 to 10:10, you take 10 minutes out of your day. You submit back to Him anything that's happening. Then at noon, you do the Thanksgiving. From noon to 12:10, pray over your meal. Don't just pray thank you, but really thank Him for everything that He's done for you. At 3 o'clock, do the confession. Spend a few minutes to confess your sins and all that's happened during the day. And then later at night, do the adoration. Do the Acts and backwards. It's a pretty good idea. Second thing, there's a prayer card, or prayer bookmark, Bible mark. Get that and pray for your leaders. Pray for the new pastor. Isn't it neat? God's preparing a pastor right now. Is he in Roswell, Georgia? Is he in Korea? Is he in Montana? Maybe he's in Whitefish, Montana. Who knows? But do you know that God is preparing someone now who probably doesn't even know about Sabino Road, but he's being prepared at this moment? Isn't that cool? Pray for the new pastor. Pray for his family. Pray for us as we receive him. This is a partnership. Third thing, spiritual gift surveys. We have about 50 of them done. We need to get all that we can of these. Take this home, bring it back next week. Spiritual gift survey. Whew. Man, that was cool, wasn't it? What does God want us to do at Sabino Road? He wants us to walk with Him, and as a church, we need to tell people about Jesus Christ. Several years ago, we've been doing all sorts of planning with the vision team, and what do we do as far as our witness and all this. Oh, God, guys, listen to me. Really famous guy named Ed Stetzer has written all the books on church planting and all this kind of stuff. It was very shocking about 10 years ago when he came out and he said, all of our research points to one thing about evangelism. You guys ready? Those new church plants, new churches that are less than 3 years old, the churches that grew the most, new church plants, did not have a corporate evangelism structure in place. There's a lot of things in a box, like, oh, how using the four spiritual laws, or using the little bands, or doing things called faith and net and some other things, and we give out tracts or Bibles and this and that and the other. He came out and said the churches that grew the most did not use a corporate, kind of an organized evangelism structure. He said the churches that grew the most, the individuals in the church, did witnessing on the go. Y'all with me? We're not going to have something on Monday night at 6 o'clock where we all gather and we go knocking on a door and say, come to church. The greatest witnessing is you telling your guy across the hall on Monday morning, hey, you ought to come to church. It's you on Thursday night at the clubhouse talking to someone. It's you on Friday playing golf. It's you on Saturday going to the market. It is the people of the church in their everyday walk telling people about Jesus. Now, does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Then let's do it. Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise your name this morning for your message. I ask that you would give us opportunities this week then allow us to use it in real time in your service. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name.